You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. So in this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Michelle Winsell O'Leary. She shares with us the story of making what some people would really kind of call a full reset in her life. New home, new career, change in relationship, all the things. And as we're talking about the story together, we find that there is a decision, which seems like a small decision before all of that, that was maybe like the first domino that helped her direct into making all of those big changes. Also in this interview, Michelle shares with me that she's a person that people like to talk to. And I have to say, after our conversation together, I agree. I found myself in our conversation talking about me, which is fine. It's a thing I do. But in a lot of my interviews, in all of the interviews, I'm intentionally focused on making sure that I'm focused on the story of the guest. So I do think she's correct about that with herself, that people share things with her. I think you're going to love this. Let's do it. Michelle Winsell O'Leary, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm so happy you're here. Are you ready for a fun chat today?
I'm super excited to be here. Absolutely. Let's go.
Let's go. I start all of my interviews asking people what part of the world they're in. Where are you?
I am in a place called Lake City on the Mississippi River, or otherwise known as Lake Pepin, a lake within the river.
A lake within the river in Minnesota. Okay, I have to look that up on a map. So you asked me right before we started, and I did not give you an answer because I said we will wait and I'll hit record and we'll do this. I'm in Miami, Florida. So you asked me where we were, and I said, I'm about to ask you, so I'm going to make you wait just a teeny tiny bit. I am in Miami, Florida. I have some Midwestern roots. I have some family that lives just outside Minneapolis. Why am I forgetting the name of their little site? I'll get back to it. I'm forgetting their name. They are in, oh my goodness. I'll think of it in a second, but right outside Minneapolis. Okay. So I love it there. Great place. One of my family members will say there's never bad weather. And it's a great day to be outside in Minneapolis, or Minnesota. And she said that to me in January when I'm like, I'm not sure I agree, but okay, we'll go with it.
It was pretty nice in January. Today it's like 107. It's super hot.
Are you guys under the heat dome?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's wicked hot out right now.
I saw that headline on the news and I was like, that feels like a made up meteorological term. I just think they make these up sometimes. It's like the heat dome. Okay, sure. Let's go with it. All right. In a second, we're going to start the official interview, which is not about heat domes or meteorology. But I want to ask one more warm-up question, which is there's a saying, right, that laughter is the best medicine. Share with us something that you can count on in your own life to bring a smile or laughter to your life.
I would say friends.
Friends.
Yeah.
I love it.
They make me smile and laugh all the time.
Very,
inappropriately,
very.
Mostly.
The best kind.
I can count on it for very inappropriate laughter.
Very. I love that. That's fantastic. Okay. So the topic of the day that we're going to talk about, once upon a time, you changed your job, divorced your husband, let him have the house, moved yourself onto a boat, all in order to create a new life for yourself. My first question is, how long ago was it that you made these changes?
Yeah, it was the summer of 2023.
2023, so about 2 years.
Just a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm. So as I was reading that and I was thinking about it, it's like the lines of a country song.
Absolutely.
The house, the family, the job, all of these. All right. So let's go back to a time before you did all this stuff. And if you don't mind, let's start way, way back. If I had run into you in like middle school or high school, before you had any adult responsibilities, what did young Michelle dream of? And what was the vision of her adulthood that she was hoping for?
Oh, I have been a dreamer a long time. I would say freedom in general in many forms, to be out of the tight controls of my parents so I could, do whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted type of life without, knowing beyond that what that meant.
Did you have any dreams as a kid of jobs or anything that you thought you wanted to do?
No, I could never really figure it out. When I started college, I had like three different majors, and it took a while. I even then dropped out of college for about 7 years until I was like, oh, I think I got it. Like, it just took me a bit. What was most important to me is that it felt meaningful.
Okay, all right,
Whatever
very
it was I
good.
was going to do had to be meaningful. And I didn't, there wasn't enough meaning in what was happening in my life. So I waited until the meaning kind of dropped in, and then I was like full speed ahead. That's
Okay.
kind of how I am.
I love that. All right. So what part of this story is changing your career? So still talking about in the past, what is the career that you eventually chose? And it looks, I think, if my the information I'm understanding is correct, you did this for a couple decades before this changed. So what did you
Oh,
choose
yeah.
to do?
Yeah, I spent decades as a mental health therapist, a mental health professional, working with people of all ages from around the world in all kinds of settings, hospitals, clinics, treatment centers, correctional facilities, you name it. And as I progressed in my career, I became an executive. So I was supervising other therapists, supervising other professionals, vice president of a company in the Twin Cities, serving people with serious and persistent mental illness, and
Okay.
also without homes. And my role there was to oversee all of our programs and all the staff and all the clients and all the regulations. And I got into building healing environments, so partnering with housing developers to build buildings that were healing environments where people without homes could live and have 24-hour individualized whole person services to
Okay.
support them as they engaged in a process of change for themselves. First time they've
Wow.
ever lived in an apartment, you know, major depression, schizophrenia, alcohol and drug abuse, trauma, anxiety, all of it, full spectrum of issues and ages and types of people. And so that's my legacy, was leaving
That.
an agency that grew astronomically through building all these facilities and working with all these people across the Twin Cities, thousands and thousands of people.
That sounds like a phenomenal program, I have to say.
It's remarkable.
Yeah,
It's
that really
set a
sounds.
new standard in the state of Minnesota. It's set a new standard for supportive housing, apartment buildings that were healing environments for individuals that needed it most. Not
That's
that we
it.
all don't. We all need it.
Right. But some,
That
there's
was who we were serving. Yeah.
exactly. And there's, we all have times in our life of different gradations where we need help from other people. And when the help is, you need somebody to provide stable housing and support, that is really that in Florida, we don't specialize in having really a lot of help for that. It's so I find that very, very encouraging to hear that you are working on that. So, when I talk to people about big shifts on their life, I do try, when people say I burned all these bridges and redid this part, I do actually make an effort to try and hit on some of the positive things. And one of the places that I really work on that is when we talk about when relationships end, because within that conversation, like when people specialize in that kind of thing, sometimes the conversation can get very angry. And so you were married for I think over a decade.
Yeah, almost
Was it
16
a
years.
happy marriage? Like, tell us about your marriage.
Yeah, it was a happy marriage. We really were deeply in love with each other. We were very good friends. We were both there. We are both therapists. We had a lot in common. We had dogs, my son. We all lived together, this beautiful house. I completely updated everything I ever wanted to do. And so it sort of feels like a chapter of my life that is just a complete chapter. It completed.
Yeah.
It just, we both got to a place where we felt more and more distant. And eventually it was like, well, you know, maybe it's time for us to just go our separate ways. And so we did that amicably. Not that there wasn't anger and resentment and frustration and all those things. But in the end, we managed it amicably.
Very
So we
nice. It's
didn't,
a
you know,
complicated
have to have a
process.
battle about it.
Yeah, it's a complicated process. It's I've yet to meet a person who's like, wow, my divorce was so much fun. So I'll keep that, I'll update that the day that I run into somebody who tells that story. But even people who have very amicable divorces and good, strong friendships and co-parenting afterwards, they most people, everybody I've ever talked to has talked about the process being really hard. And so that's it. All right, so now we're going to talk about making this big shift. Was there any one thing that happened that said that signaled to you something's got to change?
One thing that signaled to me,
The answer can
I
be no. Like you can be like,
well,
no, but yeah.
right. I it, as a very intentional person, to answer that well, I would say I became very conscious of myself
Okay.
and what I really wanted in life. And when we tried to connect on that different new conscious level that I was in, it didn't connect in the same way for us anymore. I think we both got conscious and found other paths.
Okay. All right. So
That's the signal. The signal was get co become conscious and recognize, for example, that I probably got married because I thought I was supposed to get married.
right. Okay.
I probably
That's, I
got married
mean,
because people expected me to get married
yeah.
in a
There
time frame,
is,
da da da
yeah.
da da,
Oh.
right?
Yeah, there is, I forget what there's a word for what we call that calendar. The should calendar. That's not what it's called, but there is like a mental timeline that many of us are walking through life with. And one of the reasons I think these stories can be so helpful is that we think that, you know, the generations before us had this and maybe it's not going to happen to us. But I talk to people my age, I talk to people younger, they're all experiencing this, even still to this day. You know, it's like some people will call it a checklist. And then there's a, for many people, there's a sensation where it's like, wow, you know, I did these things and I'm not exactly sure why I am where I am. I thought it'd be a little different than it is. So, and you hit on some of them. A lot of them are get the degree, do well at the job, marry the person, have the family. And people have different interpretations of it, and there's some culture and stuff like that. But so, so you became aware of the fact that you might have gotten married, or there's definitely a possibility that you got married because the time was the time when everybody was getting married and it was what was expected of you. Yeah. And so this consciousness, this waking up for this new consciousness, did you have an intention, an awareness right away, or was it growing of the life you wanted to create for yourself?
I had a conscious awareness that most likely my job would shift and become more broad. I didn't
Okay.
exactly know what that meant. I had an awareness that most likely the marriage would shift, either end or shift into a more conscious and perhaps spiritually connected nature.
Okay.
And I didn't know when any of that was happening, but I was engaged in a program called Mastering Alchemy.
Okay.
And the more and more conscious I became, the more intentional I became, the more aware I was of things that didn't feel aligned. And I got really good at learning how to release things that didn't feel aligned, that they're not mine. I don't know why they're in my life. They don't fit. They don't make sense. I don't need that.
Can you
Whether
give us an
that's
example of something?
emotions,
Yeah.
thoughts, beliefs, people,
Okay.
jobs, relationships.
There was a time in my life when I had a bunch of little kids where I literally walked into my closet and I looked around and I was like, good, whose clothes are these? Like, who shopped for these clothes? And the answer is that I had been just allowing people, like, over holidays and I hadn't been doing much shopping for myself. So, the real practical answer is that my closet had become full of all the clothes that people had gifted me for holidays. While, like, I was buying kids' clothes for the kids and just going through the motions. And I literally looked around my closet and I was like, I do not know where any of this came. There were colors that I wouldn't have chosen, all of these things. It's really funny. And one of the funny things about it is it had been years that I was wearing these clothes and just going through the motions. And you know, and And I just one day was like, why is this stuff in here? And then it was quite the adjustment for the other people around me when I was like, I don't like any of this stuff. And they're like, how could that be? And so the next question that I have for you is, when you began to go through this process of dropping things and realigning, what did the people around you, your family and your friends and your coworkers, what did they begin, what, how did they respond?
Yeah, that's a great question. Some of my friends recognized that I wasn't reaching out anymore. And it was, I did a little experiment. And the experiment was in the friendships where I did most of the reaching out to maintain it and didn't necessarily get a lot of reaching back, I let those kind of be. I changed my behavior, I stopped my side. Some of those people have never ever reached out since then.
Ouch.
Some of, yeah, well, I was the one keeping it going. So it wasn't two-way. And that's okay. They're great people. I love them. I would love to reach out and see them, but I'm not going to. Other people were like, I haven't heard from you for a long time. What's going on? Let's get together. I'd like to hear what's going on now. I'm like, yeah, me too. Let's do that. So that was one of the experiments. Another experiment I did is for people very close to me. I said, you know, I was a person that had a knee-jerk no about things that made me nervous, anxious, whatever. Like, no, I can't do that. And then I would think about it and be like, oh, maybe I could do that, you know? And I went back to them because I had released a lot of fear and anxiety through this process. And I went back to them and I said, if I have said no to you about things before, I want you to know, ask me again. Ask me again, because I'm done with fear, anxiety, and no. I'm ready for yes and fun and excitement and do things that sound interesting. That's it. Ask me again. And they're
And
like,
what
really?
did,
Can you go to yoga with me next week? And I'm like, yes.
So yoga, what other things did you get invitations to as a part of that?
High school reunions. In
Okay.
fact, I had that conversation yesterday. My friends are like, you're not gonna, you never go. I know you, blah, blah, blah. I said, have you invited me this time? When is it? Oh, it's in August in Apple Valley. Okay. All right. We'll get that on the calendar. If I'm here in Minnesota, I'd be happy to go.
All right, so high school reunion. I've never been to a high school reunion,
I've been
but
to one.
the and there was one that I was invited to, but they had planned it. It was like on a holiday, and so the interaction with my high school friend circle was very much like, "Oh my gosh, we're not going to this on this date." But it was, but it just, you know, I'm sure the people who went had a wonderful time. But
Yeah.
yes, so a high school reunion. So you were releasing fears. You had your friends ask you to reinvite you to things. You were open to challenges. Relationships where you were doing most of the work, you would let those go. Those kind of things. That is that. So, and then did anybody? Any other feedback from people about like, why are you doing this? You know, what's going on, you know?
Yeah, let's see. I found that as I aligned with what makes me happy and where my skills and strengths are and my consciousness and intention are, that I found that I engaged in conversations about those things more
Okay.
because it's kind of the energy and the topic of conversation that people would be like, I meditate now. I meditate a lot. And people will say, what are you doing on your boat when you're by yourself? Like, what do you do? I do a lot of meditating. I do my work. But anyway, one of the things that happened is I met other people and I started to have conversations about what I'm really passionate about. And I've always been a person that attracts people into my life that want to tell me their stories as a therapist, as a human, as a friend. And I started to meet more people and hear a lot more stories and have a lot more intimate, closer discussions and communications and things like that. So that happened. That's happening. That still happens.
It's still happening. All right, so I want to go back because I think you mentioned, and let me know if I'm getting the details to this wrong, that
Sure.
part of this is that you were researching or enrolling in a program, part of a thing that I think what you said was called Mastering Alchemy. All right.
Yep.
So that makes me think that somewhere in there, there was a choice. You became aware of this program or a leader or a group that was doing it. What was it? If you remember, how did you find, what were you doing that led you to it, that you found it? And what was it that drew you in and made this seem like, hey, this is something that feels good to me right now?
I was receiving shiatsu massage from a friend of mine, and
Okay.
she knows me and said, "Hey, I'm involved in this thing called Mastering Alchemy, and it's led by Jim Self. I think you'd really like it. You should check it out." The
Okay.
end. I'm
The
like,
end.
"Okay, Jody, I'm totally going to check it out." At the time, I was married, and I said to my then husband, "You should check this out with me because there's couples doing this together to become conscious together as a couple and learn all these skills and tools." So I was interested in it because Jim Self has a presence. I'm a feeler, an energy feeler. And when he steps in a space, it's visceral, it's energetic, it's felt. And I feel it.
Okay.
It's like home. He's like home. That's the feeling of these classes are like, I know this. This is me. This is aligned on my path. I know it is.
All
And I
right.
hoped it would also do the same for my ex-husband. I hoped that that would sort of bring us back together too.
Okay, so you invited him in as a part of this
Yes.
process. And I'm not going to guess. Did he join you in this, or
Yes.
did he? Okay, he did. But it didn't bring you guys together. It just brought you to a next level of separate consciousness.
Yes. And he did it. He made it part of the way through the first level and then was like, not really for me, kind of thing,
Okay.
which was disappointing to me because that this was like, oh, this is how we can realign. Disappointing to me, but I didn't stop. I've never stopped because I just keep growing. I just keep
Okay.
expanding and growing and deepening and becoming more aware, and it's now a way of life. It's just who I am.
All right, so I'm going to ask you a question about the intersection of your professional training and then this more energetic spirituality that you went into, which I try to ask anybody that I talk to who has one of these Western, non-Western intersections in their life. Because you're, am I correct in assuming that your professional training when you were working in mental health was more, I'm going to say Western, but traditional
Absolutely.
medical psychology, clinical psychology, all of that stuff. And then it does not, the words mastering alchemy do not sound like they are probably found in the Psych 101 textbook.
Absolutely
So
not.
this is different. So
Yes.
how did that feel like a conflict at all to you? Did it feel like something you had to work through as a person? How did you bring it together in your mind?
Sure. I'll preface by saying that I've had spiritual interests for decades. So I've
Okay.
always dabbled in things that relate, always. And even in my Western training as a therapist, I would adapt the techniques and use my unique skills to intuit things or to I can connect with people and help them see themselves. It's just
Okay.
what I can do. And so I've always been drawn to these kinds of things. I might have lost the second part of that question. Oh,
So that's
the
it. Just
integration.
how did you bring it together or work
And this
through
is a
that?
really good story, and I'll try and make it brief. So the summer of 2023, I'm nearing graduation. My boss, and so I'm already thinking things are going to shift, but I'm nearing graduation. My boss and I have a conversation that results in me saying, I think I'm going to step aside. So the job goes
Is
away.
gone.
I don't know what I'm going to do. It was quick. Like 2 weeks later, my husband and I had a conversation and made the final decision that we were going to part. It was quick. The decision about the house, quick. I was already living on the boat anyway. So, like in the space of a very short period of time, all of that happened. So,
Okay.
come winter, the boat comes off the water. Where am I
Right.
going? I don't
Yeah.
know. Where am I going? I don't know. So I create this journey for myself. It was a 5-month travel journey. I graduated and I went to a conference for Mastering Alchemy.
Okay.
And they always say, when you go to these conferences, it was my first, like you're going to meet hundreds of best friends you never knew you had. Exactly what it was. Exactly what, like, I'm like, oh my God, you are my people. This is awesome. It was so great. It was so amazing. But then I took the next 5 months of traveling and staying with friends where they lived in Portland and Florida and Georgia and California in Colorado. I took 5 months to just allow myself to do this integration and let myself figure out how it all fits together. And that is how we get to the book. I said,
Okay.
in order for me to start my own business, be my own boss, and explain to people how to integrate all of the expertise I have, I need to put it into words. So I hired a book coach to help me organize my thoughts into a book.
Yep.
And it was in 12 weeks, I had 80,000 words of how I integrate my philosophies with energy. It was meant to be
80,000
one book.
words.
Yeah, boom. Every week, a different chapter.
So did you do this like Stephen King, where you sat down every day and you were like, I'm gonna work for 3 hours on the book, or did it just flow out of you? It just flew out
It's
of you.
called Flow in the Present.
Oh, I didn't. That's funny. That's good. That's very good. All right. So you sign up for a course. You really resonate with it. You work on aligning things. It leads you to making what we consider to be big life changes, but you seem like they lined up, and they were, even though they were fast, it seems like they were decisive and not overwhelming by the time you made them. Is that
Yes.
fair? Okay. And
Yeah.
so and then you go on a trip. And so it sounds like this takes about a year to make the big parts of this shift and begin writing this book.
Yeah.
That's not about right.
Yeah. In July of 23, those things happened. And in December of 24, the book was published.
Okay, so that's the time frame. All right, so now we talked about what you were like when you were younger. We talked about living in this the box, the status quo. We talked about making the changes and how you got there. What's life look like for you now? Like, what's different today than was, say, 4 years ago, before this became a thing you were working on and you were making these changes?
Yeah. Oh boy, so much. So, I mean, I have fun and I'm happy. And I'm living in the most peaceful, beautiful place, floating on the water every single day, all summer long.
Okay.
That's where I live. That's where I work. That's my new community. And I had no idea that would ever happen. But I'm a water person and it's just absolutely perfect for me.
Beautiful.
And so that's very different. And I still don't have a house. And so every off season, I just kind of put my intentions out there and also sort of see what lines up energetically, like what comes, what am I just allow it to just sort of flow and come to me until things line up and go, yes, that sounds great. I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to do that. And then I'll line that up and I have a gap there. So I'll get a B, VRBO, wherever. I just let things come to me and fall into place. I don't need to overly plan things anymore.
And you love that. You love that. You're
I
happy.
love that.
Very good.
It
Very
allows
good.
me to take every moment and make the choice in the moment.
That's it. No, I want to thank you very much for sharing that. So in a minute, we're going to do, I'm actually, so do you think, so you mentioned that you had a child, and do you think that when that he was, I think it's hard to be spontaneous with little children is what is the root here.
Oh,
This is
for
not a,
sure.
I didn't fully think this out, this question. So which is why I'm stumbling around it. But now I'm about to be an empty nester. And when I had small children, I did not like the pressure of not knowing where things like mealtime were going to be, and where we were going to be. So, and so do you think that part of the spontaneity is because you are past the point of raising small children and managing a house?
I think that's a really good question. And I think part of the answer is the time we're in. So now there is a lot more fluidity in younger families.
Okay.
The structure and over planning that many of us grew up with, we have sports and then we have this and then we have meals and then we have da 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 da. That's not necessarily how younger families are living today.
Okay.
So I think the times have changed, and that the skills to recognize the present moment give you more options to make choices about how to respond in the moment.
Yeah, no.
You could still have some structure, right? I mean, we're going to
Yeah.
eat. We can plan something if it can be at a
Yes.
certain time, but children aren't terribly predictable.
Yeah. Oh,
So
my kids, like, they were little. Because I'm not, like, when I was by myself, it was definitely something I had to learn with being around small kids. I was like, okay, if you don't feed these little rascals, they get cranky. And so pay attention.
yes.
Pay attention, and so that you can prevent that. So, and then that was, that was the way it was a pattern that evolved for me as a person. And when, as they aged out, it was very relaxing to be like, oh, you know what? I can just have crackers for dinner. I don't have to, So that's why I wanted to ask you whether or not whether or not you were like that when you had small children and your family around, and you'd always loved that spontaneity, or whether or not it was a shift that was allowed in sort of the change in who was around you.
Yeah, and it's really a combination answer. I've
Combination.
become less controlling or needing to have all of the structure. And also, I've always enjoyed the freedom to make choices that are fun in a given
Yeah.
moment. And children love that. I mean,
Yeah, it
what's the
would
best
be.
distraction for kids is
Yeah.
fun.
No, 100%. Yeah. So it would be maybe, yeah. So there's a possibility that if I went back and met the younger version of myself, I was not quite as easygoing as I thought I was. That's definitely true. So in a minute, we're going to do the final questions, the final fun questions. I want to give you a chance. You showed us your book, and you can tell
Yes.
us about that. Tell people what it is that you're doing these days, and
Yeah.
specifically how you want them to find you and connect online if they're interested.
Yeah. Perfect. So my company is called Spirit of Therapy LLC. So my website .net, spiritoftherapyllc.net, is the best place to find all my resources. And I have some freebies on there. I have a tour of my book. I have a sneak peek into my journal that's going to be coming out. The book is called Flow in the Present. It is a series. The 80,000 words became 11 books because the content takes a minute to get through. There's a good flow to it, but it's deep, it's layered. So depending on how deeply you want to consider the concepts of consciousness and hearing yourself and learning skills of presence, you can go back through this book 100 times. Anyways, you can find the book, you can find the journal, you can book a free discovery call. So I'm still doing one-to-one services across the globe, online Zoom, one-to-one energetic, therapeutic, counseling, skills-based energy tools, and intuitive guiding. I work with alchemists. I'm a partner in Mastering Alchemy. You can learn about alchemy with me, and I do a master class in energy tools as a partner of Mastering Alchemy. Some of their coursework is in mine, some of it is mine. All of that's on my website. Also, I have a community. It's a community of co-creators. We're all, as a group, co-creating and expanding our awareness together. And so, right now, we've got a founder level that's getting the group set. We're going to be opening that up to additional people. So, if anyone is interested in a community, which post-COVID, the isolation and sort of everybody trying to figure themselves out on their own, it has felt very rewarding and transformational to have a group of like-minded, supportive individuals to grow with. So
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of us.
those are the things I'm
Yeah.
doing. Yeah.
That's beautiful. All right. So thank you for sharing that. That link for your website will be in the show notes. And you have a special offer for the audience, which is an empowered masterclass in energy tools. It's a 5-hour small group experience based on the principles of your book. The value is $159. The special offer for the audience is 25% off and a free creator journal. So, and people can collect that by connecting with you and mentioning the code, The Art of Imperfect Adulting, which is the name
Yes.
of the show. I want to thank you very much for that very generous offer. The link to that is in the show notes. The information about that is in the show notes. But for anybody who's listening, listening and all of the audience, I say this in every show, the easiest way to get these offers and make sure you don't miss them, because there are a lot of shows, is to be a subscriber to the email community of The Art of Imperfect Adulting, because then I send it directly to your email box. It's right in there. You click on the links. It's so easy. I highly recommend it. So, all right. Now, Michelle, are you ready for the final questions? Very good. All right, here we go. Coffee, tea, or something else as an early morning beverage?
French press.
French press. Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. Do you read or listen to books? Like audiobooks.
Listen.
You listen. Audiobooks. And all right. Do you have a recent book that you want to share with us that you enjoyed?
I really enjoyed. Okay. Give me a minute. Oh, what is her name? Alicia Keys.
Okay.
Her book. I can't remember the title of it right off the top of my head in this moment, but I just listened to her book, and she both sings in it and plays piano in it, and all the important people in her life talk in it, and she did a beautiful job. I'm preparing to record my own audiobook on my boat in August, and so I've been listening to prepare myself for the style of audiobook I want to do.
Fabulous.
And hers is fantastic.
Oh my goodness. Channeling your inner Alicia Keys to record your audiobook. That sounds like a brilliant idea. All right. Very good. Okay. So now this one's a new question I've been asking people. I love it, but it's a little bit, takes a second. When you think back over your whole life, what is one piece, just one, it doesn't have to be the best piece of advice, but a piece of good, solid advice that you have gotten in your life. What is that piece of advice and who gave it to you?
This is the one that came to mind, so I'm just going to give it to you, and it's more current. It's not think back through my whole life. Keep the best, let go of the rest.
Okay.
And who gave that to me is a friend of mine, a newer friend of mine within the last year, who would probably prefer I not say his name, but he knows who he is.
Keep the best and let go of the rest. All right. Very good. Michelle Winslow-Leary, thank you so much for being an amazing guest today on the show.
Thank you. I really appreciate what you're doing. I love your show, and I'm so happy to have been here.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adultier adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.